वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवत कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 11 द सिम्टम्स ऑफ लिविंग एंटिटीज वर्सेस 29-32। श्री भगवान उवाच कृपालुर्कृतदोहस्तितिक्षु कृपालुर्कृतद्रोहस्तितिक्षु सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो न वद्यात्मा सम सर्वोपकारकः कृपालुर्कृतद्रोहस्तितिक्षुः सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो न वद्यात्मा सम सर्वोपकारकः कृपालुर्अककृतदोहस् तितिक्षुः सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो न वद्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारकः। कृतद्रोहस् सर्वदेहिनां सत्याधारो सत्पात्मा समः सर्वोपकारकः। लेडीज, श्री भगवान उवाच कृपालु अकृतद्रोहस् तितिक्षु सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो न वद्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारकः। लेडीज, कृपालुककृतद्रोहस् तितिक्षु सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो न वद्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारकः। ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಉವಾಚ ಕೃಪಾಲೋ ಅಕೃತದ್ದೋಹ ತಿತಿಕ್ಷು ಸರ್ವದೇಹಿನಾಂ ಸತ್ಯಸಾರೋ ನವದ್ಯಾತ್ಮಾ ಸಮಸ್ಸರ್ವೋಪಕಾರಕಃ. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ರೀಡ್ ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್. ಶಾಲ್ ವಿ ರೀಡ್ ದ ಫುಲ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್? ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಸೇಡ್, ಓ ಉದ್ಧವ, ಅ ಸೇಂಟ್ಲಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಈಸ್ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನೆವರ್ ಇಂಜೋರ್ಸ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್. ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಅಗ್ರೆಸಿವ್, ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಟಾಲರೆಂಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫರ್ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್. ಹೀ ಸ್ಟ್ರೆಂಗ್ತ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಕಮ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಟ್ರುತ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಎನ್ವಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಜೆಲಸಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಈಕ್ವಲ್ ಇನ್ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿನೆಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರೆಸ್. ದಸ್ ಹೀ ಡೆಡಿಕೇಟ್ಸ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಟು ವರ್ಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ವೆಲ್ಫೇರ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್. His intelligence is never bewildered by material distress, desires, and he has controlled his senses. His behavior is always pleasing, never harsh, and always exemplary. He is free from possessiveness. He never endeavors in ordinary worldly activities, and he strictly controls his eating. He therefore always remains peaceful and steady. A saintly person is thoughtful and accepts me as his only shelter. Such a person is very cautious in the execution of his duties and is never subject to superficial transformations because he is steady and noble, even in distressing situations. He has conquered over the 6 material qualities, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age and death. He is free from all desire for prestige and offers honor to others. He is expert in reviving the Krishna consciousness of others and therefore never cheats anyone. Rather, he is a well-wishing friend to all, being most merciful. Such saintly person must be considered the most learned of men. He perfectly understands that the ordinary religious duties prescribed by me in various Vedic scriptures possess favorable qualities that purify the performer, and he knows that neglect of such duties constitutes a discrepancy in one's life. Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces and such ordinary religious duties and worships me alone. He is thus considered to be the best among all living entities. So as per the instruction, we will read from the second quality. ಅಕೃತ ದ್ರೋಹ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್. ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಸಮ್ವನ್ ಈಸ್ ಒಫೆನ್ಸಿವ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಅ ಡಿವೋಟಿ, ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಒಫೆನ್ಸಿವ್ ಇನ್ ರಿಟರ್ನ್. ಇಂಡೀಡ್ ಹೀ ನೆವರ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಅಗೇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ ದ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಎನಿ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ. ಒನ್ ಮೇ ಆರ್ಗ್ಯೂ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಎಸ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಯುಧಿಷ್ಠಿರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಕ್ಯೂಟೆಡ್ ಮೆನಿ ಕ್ರಿಮಿನಲ್ಸ್. However, when justice is properly administered by the state, sinful, destructive persons actually benefit from their punishment because they become freed from the severe karmic reactions to their illicit activities. A Vaishnava ruler gives punishment not out of envy or malice, but in faithful obedience to the laws of God. The Mayavadi philosophers who want to kill God by imagining that he does not exist are certainly kritadroha, or most injurious to themselves and others. The impersonalist imagines that he himself is supreme and thus creates a most dangerous situation for himself and for his followers. Similarly, the karmis who are dedicated to material sense gratification are killers of their self. Because of their absorption in material consciousness, they lose all chance of experiencing the absolute truth and the truth of their own self. Therefore, all living entities who become under the control of materialistic regulations and duties are unnecessarily harassing themselves and others. And a pure Vaishnava feels great compassion and concern for them. A devotee never uses his mind, body and words to perform any act that is harmful to the welfare of any living entity. Titikshu, the third quality. A devotee forgives and forgets any offense against himself. A Vaishnava is personally detached from his material body, which is made of pus, stool and blood and so on. Therefore, the devotee is able to overlook the obnoxious behavior he sometimes meets with in the course of preaching and always deals with people as a perfect gentleman. Vaishnava loudly chants the holy name of the Lord and tolerates and forgives those fallen conditioned souls who are unable to reciprocate properly with a pure devotee. Fourth, Satyasar. A devotee always remembers that he is the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is omniscient, the reservoir of all pleasure and the ultimate enjoyer of all activities. By avoiding activities outside devotional service, a devotee remains fixed in the truth. By avoiding activities outside bhakti, a devotee remains fixed in the truth, does not uselessly waste time, and thus becomes bold, powerful and steady. Fifth one, Anavadhyatma. A devotee knows that the material world is a temporary phantasmagoria and therefore does not envy anyone in any material situation. He never tries to agitate others or criticize them unnecessarily. Sixth, the last of today, Sama. A devotee remains steady and equal in the material happiness and distress, fame and infamy. His actual wealth is in his Krishna consciousness of, his actual wealth is his consciousness of Krishna, and he understands that his real self-interest lies outside the scope of material nature. He does not become excited or depressed by external events, but remains fixed in consciousness of omnipotency of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupak Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Very heavy discussion between Sri Krishna and Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, in 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we will discuss, out of the 28 qualities, we'll discuss about five qualities. We may not go in actually sequence, but more or less we'll cover everything. One quality of a devotee is, even after getting offended, a true devotee never becomes revengeful. This is a very difficult situation. Natural course of activity when we get offended is to retaliate, to give back, maybe equal or more, become overwhelmingly aggressive to defeat the opponent who has offended us. But spiritual life is exactly opposite material life. What we do in material life, we do exactly things opposite, unbelievably opposite. So, offense is very common in the material world. Wherever we go, we get offended. We go to workplace, we go to staying place, society, group of people, colleagues, inmates, wherever, knowingly, unknowingly, offense is very common in the material world. But the devotee, I have not realized this stage, but I can philosophize. A devotee can actually not become responsive aggressively to the offense and not become revengeful only on one basis, that maybe some past karma is there. That's why this is happening. Nothing can happen in this world without a reason, and no bad things can happen without a reason, as good as good things. So I don't retaliate aggressively when good things happen. Do we respond aggressively when there is praise? Although the praise is undue, praise is false, we never go and become, you know, no, it is not true what you are saying. How can you say this? This is not true about me. I am not so good that you are proclaiming to be me to be. I remember one tennis player who was a champion at my childhood time. And then many years he was champion, and then later on he became old, as everybody becomes old, and he got cancer. So the reporters, you know, they came and asked, what do you feel now? Why God has done this to you? So he gave such an inspiring answer. He said that when I was on top of the world as champion for many years, I never asked God why you did this to me. And now cancer has come, so why should I ask why you did this to me? I have no right to ask. To a certain extent, this is a very deep realization. And that also comes to a situation of sama. That means you don't get excited when you are overtly praised, or you don't get excited when you are blamed for anything. Generally, when the praise comes, we feel like owning it. Whenever a truthful blame comes also, we want to retaliate it. But these things which are explained by Krishna to Uddhav are only possible on spiritual platform. No person who is not connected with the Lord is able to even think of this. All of us are trained at family level, at school level, at friend level, retaliate, don't accept, fight, give back, inequality. That's what we are trained for. And also our innate nature in the material world also is that only, when we are detached from Krishna. Only when we get attached to Krishna, these things manifest. Because of samam bonam of all these good qualities, if at all they were to exist or appear in us, is only on the platform that we are connected with the Lord. Otherwise, it's a nice story. We can go through the nice story of 20 qualities and just forget about it. It's not going to be anywhere relevant. It's all relevant and meaningful and purposeful when it is on the platform of Krishna consciousness. Similarly, the purport, it is explained that devotees are in administrative positions many times, in office, in temple, or outside in community, or wherever. And we have to take action sometimes, punish somebody for the misdeed. Not exactly crime, but misdeeds, or purposeful, unpurposeful. But they are done by genuine administrators, keeping the welfare of the person in mind. Like in purport is explained that in the past, if somebody kills somebody, immediately he will be killed, either by getting stabbed or on a cannonball or throwing off the cliff or hanging or whatever way, he would be killed, tit for tat kind of thing. But scriptures explain us that when someone kills and someone gets killed for the
same thing. He is relieved of much, much suffering in the hell or in the next life. It is good for him. So it appears very cruel, very harsh, very merciless activity. But actually it is merciful activity. Very difficult to accept externally. But again, if your understanding is based on scriptures, the word of God, then maybe one day you'll come to understanding, yes, this is good. How can, it's like giving injection to a child. The child feels so cruel to me. My mother is so cruel. Is she a mother? But when knowledge comes, the child comes to know, it is for my welfare actually. It pained me, but it saved me from so much suffering in the future. So like that, mrityudanda for a murder is actually mercy. Once you go through that experience of pain, you are relieved of multiple sufferings in the future. If you were to escape that by your diplomacy or by your cunningness, some people try to express, oh, I did the murder, next day I died or I shot myself. Many people do that, na? They kill all family members and they shoot themselves. They feel, I'm free from all this. But no, next life is awaiting for you. Hell is awaiting for you. Yamaloka is waiting for you to give appropriate punishment. Lot of suffering. And these punishments are given by people like Yudhishthira or Parikshit Maharaj, keeping the spiritual welfare also in mind. That is the extraordinary quality of a spiritual king, one who is Rajarishi, a devotee of the Lord like Parikshit Maharaj. Such a wonderful gentleman. But as soon as he saw Kali, he just took out his sword. As ghastly, as harsh he could be, he was. So how that can be? Because one who is based on truth, one whose life is based on truth and the principles of truth, then he is not hesitant in doing harsh or mild activity. He is not confused. He is not attached to his image that I am mild and I am sober and how can I be appearing to be trembling with anger. He is not bothered about this thing. He is doing the needful. When his understanding is based on spiritual scriptures and instructions of Gurudev and a genuine realization coming from the heart, sincere heart, then he is not hesitant. So Arjun, Bhim, they were all as harsh as possible when time came. But other times you read Mahabharata, they were very gentle, nice, helpful, friendly. Naturally they are like that. But if things demand like that, then they don't hesitate to take that unpleasant kind of demeanor. Because they are convinced that this is meant for the spiritual and material benefit of the person whom I am dealing with. So again and again, knowledge is coming as a baseline. Spiritual, true knowledge about the self. Then it is explained that people who are killers of themselves. Unknowingly they are harming themselves. Atmaha. Two things. How? By sense gratification. And sense gratification is so wonderful actually. So pleasing. So much happiness, attraction, excitement is there. How can it be killing oneself? Because it entangles one in multiple series of lives of suffering again and again, perpetually. Where the spiritual welfare is never into consideration. Only it results in suffering one after another, life after life, and lives after lives. In that sense, it is killer of oneself. So being the self, I am the self, I am Atma. Minimally, we should be interested in our welfare. That is intelligence. That selfishness is good. But that selfishness should be based on the true understanding of the self. Not the understanding of self as I am this body and body as senses, I must gratify them. This is not true understanding. True understanding is I am the soul, not this body, and I am the part and parcel of that supreme spiritual being who is Satchidananda, full of pleasure. On that platform, I need to be selfish and looking for welfare of myself. When that welfare of the self takes place, the self becomes very blissful, the Lord becomes happy, and whoever is connected with you is also become happy. Is also becoming happy. Spiritual selfishness is the root of welfare of everybody around you. When you chant the holy name, it not only nourishes you and makes you blissful, but it creates such positive vibration in the whole creation eternally. You can draw from that, and world can become a better place to live when you and me chant together. So that kind of understanding has to be there to save from becoming kidder of oneself. And second is, by negating the Lord's personality. It is mentioned here, people harass themselves by this kind of thought. That means Mayavad. Basically, Mayavad is attacked over here. And Mayavad is much more killing than sense gratification. Sense gratification, if one understands, he can wake up and correct himself. So we have so many people. Our whole movement began with all the drug addicts and all those kind of activities people were doing. And they all became devotees. It is one way easier. As soon as you are hit by the bad effect of your sense gratification, like you get sexual transmitted disease, or you get liver disease, or you get SCV or HIV or something else you get, you can wake up and retrieve and correct yourself. But one who is negating the personality of Godhead, it is like insulting the Lord himself, negating him, making him null. That person has no hope. One can harm oneself and cure oneself, but one cannot negate the personality of Godhead and expect oneself to get, you know, cured or resurrected. That's why it is at one point of time, better to be a sense gratifier than a Mayavadi. Sense gratifier can be saved by the mercy of the Lord through the devotees, but Mayavadi is very, very difficult. Which is why you see transformations of Mayavadis into devotees are rare examples in the history. And that too only Lord could do it. Otherwise, Mayavadis turning into Vaishnavas is a very rare stories. Very, very rare people are there who turn like that. Because it's such an alluring atmosphere. Yesterday also we had some guests at home and they were discussing. Mayavadi is so alluring. There is so much self-aggrandizement in there. By negating the Lord, you are so comfortable. You can do what you want. You can think what you want. You can be comfortable in whatever you think you want. And it's very tempting and alluring. That's why people get sucked into that without even knowing that what I am getting sucked into. That kind of power Mayavad has. And also when you become Mayavadis and suddenly you start getting some subtle powers of reading somebody's mind and some things you can predict. So that's so alluring that you are happy in negating the Lord's personality and trying to aggrandize yourself. It's such a subtle and deep kind of sensual allurement. That is why it is more of killing oneself than sense gratification. Next point mentioned here is, a devotee never does any activity physically, mentally or by words, kaya, vacha, mane, that will harm any living entity. That is a very, very wonderful quality of a devotee. Many of the times, as mentioned in the previous discussion, people are doing activity that harms themselves only. What to forget about others getting harmed or not harmed. They are not bothered whether others are getting harmed or not. But thinking that one is going to be happy, they are harming themselves only. And in turn, eventually when you harm yourself, you become desperate, you don't care for your harm, then why you care for others' harm? You go on harming others also. But a devotee is always so kindly predisposed that he never likes to harm an ant also. What to speak of neighbor or colleague or fellow human beings or animals. That is why, because he doesn't want to harm anybody, he can live in harmony with the Prakriti very nicely. Because Prakriti also is meant for harmony. Prakriti also is meant for living congenially and cooperatively, to get the best for yourself also, even selfishly. We think that I harm you, then I can get some benefit. If I steal money from you, I can become rich. But actually in the process, we incur so much of karma that eventually there remains the illusion that I'll enjoy what money I stole from you. But actually I suffer more than what I thought I will enjoy. So that's why it is said, the happiness is in giving. When you give, you receive. And when you receive after giving, it is very steady and constantly with you. And when I keep expecting from you that you will give, there is a lot of anxiety. When you will give? Why are you not giving? I am waiting for so long. What are you doing? I am expecting from you. Then a lot of suffering is there. But when you start giving very kindly, and then when you receive in return, that is very satisfying. And no anxiety is guaranteed in the process. That's why devotional life is very wonderful. All these wonderful things which are actually abstract from material point of view are taught in spiritual life. And there are few people in number. Sometimes it is also bewildering. Is it right or is it like, I should not retaliate when I am offended? Or am I right on right path? Some people are saying, no, we should have retaliated. So it's confusing because few people are on this side. But whether few people are on this side or large number of people are on this side is truthful side. It will be always victorious. It will never be a situation where you will lose if you follow this path. Then comes Titikshu, one of the most famous qualities of devotees, tolerance. And tolerance also comes out of knowledge. And tolerance also comes with knowledge out of humility. Humility comes out of knowledge. Why? Because I come to know I am insignificant part and parcel of the Lord by this process. Sometimes when you are told, when I come new in temple first time and I am told, you are a minute, insignificant part of the Lord, I just don't want to come again to temple. Because it puts me so much down. I am not insignificant. I am something, I am something, I am great. I am educated, I am learned, I am famous, I am powerful. Then in that phase I am told, I am simply insignificant part of the Lord. Nothing. But if I digest that and I come in, and I start understanding more, and I start believing it actually, that is true, then natural humility comes up. And that humility is natural from the soul, understanding who am I. And when that happens, then you come to know, or come to start feeling that, I don't deserve anything. The world is teaching you, you deserve so much. When a beggar thinks, I deserve the money in your pocket, and you must give me, and knock you 15 times, give me. But you don't give me, I give bad words to you. Why are you not giving me? Please give me. Why only 5 rupees? Give 10 rupees. Or I give gali to you. That's because of ignorance. I don't know. I feel I deserve. But as soon as you get knowledge, you start understanding I don't deserve. I mean, you don't deserve and something bad happens, you feel I deserve worse than this. So thank you, my Lord. I blame him, I blame him, I blame her and I blame them simply because I think I don't deserve this. But when I come to know, it's all because of my past karma, and these people are just nimitta. They are just reasons, they are the instruments to execute that effect of my bad karma. So it is said that never get angry with the people who hurt you. Get angry with yourself only. Because they are just executing on behalf of the Lord. They are like puppets in the hand of the providence to give you what you deserve. And if you retaliate, that means you are in ignorance. If you accept, that means humility. And this humility then gives you tolerance. So it's a step, it just doesn't come. I want this, I want that. You can't shop these qualities. You have to practice and cultivate the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. Then even if you are not vigilant about those qualities are coming or not, they will start appearing in you. You one may not realize that, others will note that in you. You may not portray like that, but others will sense that in you. Because this is natural, based on platform of truth. When these things appear, sincerely they are exhibited, unintentionally, and without pride. Then they touch the hearts of others who are watching. And they get impressed by that. Yes, this is something unique I don't have. He has. And because of the tolerance, he can remain composed, even in a disturbing situation, and give his best performance. That is what is important. What is happening when things unpleasant happen to us? We get agitated. We get angry. And what happens when we get angry? We lose our intelligence. Even if we have the intelligence, we lose the intelligence for that moment of time, for that period of time. Rationality, sar asar buddhi, sad asad vivek buddhi is lost. So we are never known to do such things, but we will do those things, obnoxious things, which are not supposed to be done. And then we will keep repenting for 10 days after that. But that period, when you get angry, that period has to be managed. And that can be managed only by knowledge and practice of Krishna consciousness. And you will come to know over the years when you sincerely practice, you will see the difference in yourself only. I used to get excited so much before, now I don't get excited so much. And not to be proud of that, I will continue my practice. That gives me faith in the process which I am following. So devotee tolerates, forgives and forgets. Why is that? It is a very famous English saying. You give, give and give and you forgive. That is what a devotee's nature is. You can forgive only when you have knowledge. Why we should forgive? When I am offended? Because I know that I also need to be forgiven for many things. If I deserve, I want, I desire forgiveness, then I first act by giving forgiveness. Then the Lord will respond to you by you giving, getting forgiven. All of us need to get forgiven. At the end of our life, when we face the moment of death, unless we forgive and unless we are forgiven, we cannot progress towards the kingdom of God. If unknowingly somebody has been hurt by you and you don't forgive, they don't forgive you, or you have not forgiven somebody, then you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, one can enter only when our slate is clean. You have forgiven everybody, everybody has forgiven you and given you green signal. Otherwise, one has to come back and square the equations again. So then the question comes, I always keep thinking, why we have to do this forgiving business at the end of life? The process should start now. Because if you don't do that forgiving activity now, there will be lot of work to do. Lot of, maybe hundreds and thousands of forgiving you have to do, and there may not be so much time at that time. In the serious pain of death that we experience in hospice, so much of pain is there. You are not in composed condition. You may not get all time best palliative care to be pain free, kindly. You may be in painful condition. Even if you are in pain free condition by the mercy of the palliative care physicians, still, you may not have so much time to go on forgiving people and go on getting forgiveness from people. So start the process now. Clear the knots now only. There may be thousands of knots. So you can't clear all knots at one shot in the end of the life. Keep clearing now only. Don't rub the blackboard in the end when it is filled. Keep on rubbing it when your work is done. Keep on making the space empty. It is better actually. So that you have less to do at the last moment. And you have a lot of time to think of the Lord and prepare to think of the Lord. If so much of backlog work is there, the main work is to think of the Lord by the help of devotees. But so much of backlog is there, then when you will reach that point, maybe death will snap and take you away. So it is better to keep forgiving continuously. And Gurudev always mentions, what does love mean? Love means everlasting forgiveness. Very difficult, easy to say. But even if it's difficult to practice, one must start practicing. I may not be able to be everlasting forgiveness giver. But I can start giving. And when you forgive, immediately you are forgiven. This you can practice, you can experience yourself. Whenever you forgive somebody, people eagerly forgive you. When you hold on, people also hold on. It's all equal and opposite, always. I remember the two stories of Titikshu of Indradyumna Swami Maharaj. He was traveling one time abroad and he was going in some African country. The people are very aggressive sometimes, drug addicts and everything. So some police officer, as soon as he saw him, a white American man entering into African country, at the airport itself, he just came in front of him and spat on his face. So much envy, anger, hatred was there. So what did Maharaj do? He just quietly took out a handkerchief, mopped it off, went to the washroom, washed his face, boarded the flight and went away. Very difficult. He's a 6-footer. Looks like an army man actually. If he gives one box, that police officer can down on the ground. But one who is a realized soul takes everything as coming from the Lord. And wisdom also tells that if you retaliate with the police officer on the airport, you are getting into the worst situation. That's also a worldly wisdom. At the same time, a realized soul thinks nothing comes without the will of the Lord. Why should I retaliate? So peacefully he did this and he went away. If he would have done something, maybe he would have spat 2-3 times more on his face. Sometimes when you are near the gutter, you have to be careful, because you cannot fight with the gutter. Gutter will only make you dirty. Second time he was in Jagannath Puri, a few years back only. And I think all of us were there, and Radhana Swami was there, he also was there. And they were standing near Baldevji's chariot on that side, you know. Baldevji, Subhadraji and Jagannathji. So they were on Baldevji's side near the shops and watching the whole Pahandi Vijay and everything. Suddenly one Orissa police officer comes. He is punched on his face, you know, so hard that such a 6-footer tall sannyasi just fell on the ground, almost unconscious for a few seconds. He just got up, went away to the room, washed his face and came back again. This time far from the sight of the police officers. Knowing well that what can happen in front of the Lord's chariot, where in front of the vision of the Lord, anything that Lord doesn't desire can happen when Lord is directly watching. That is the understanding that the great souls have. What we will think, what is the use? The Lord is standing here. What the Lord is doing when I am getting punched? Why should I come here to Jagannath Puri? I have come to see the Lord's chariot, Rath Yatra, and get mercy. And this is what I am getting. I don't want to come to Jagannath Puri ever. This is what our thought process will be. We can get put off totally from the whole experience and we will never go for Rath Yatra again. But a realized soul doesn't think like that. Realized soul will say, even if I get punched every time, I will come every time. Because what we see as a curse or a disgrace or a displeasure, the realized soul sees as a blessing of the Lord. That is why Kunti could say that Vipada Santute Shashvat, let those calamities keep coming again and again. From where the strength comes to tell that, let those calamities come again and again? It's on the understanding and realization that these are the blessings of the Lord. If you're not convinced about those things as blessings of the Lord, how dare you say it is, let it come again and again? It's a big risk you're taking if you're not convinced about it. But she said this because she was convinced about it. Even if one more would have come, after she had said this, she would have accepted it gracefully. Because she had experienced all the grace in all those previous things, which is enough for her to get convinced, this is a blessing of the Lord. And all these things what Kunti, not all that degree, but the kind of things which Kunti went through, Mother Kunti, they are happening in our lives also. And the opportunity to experience the grace of the Lord is available to us also. It's not only within the borders and the the binding of the book. This is not constrained in the boundary of the book. This is out of the book, available in the day-to-day life experiences for all of us. So when we read this in the Traveling Preacher, Traveling Monk book, it's so inspiring actually. I don't know what will happen to the police officer, but we know what's going to happen to Swamiji because of his response that he gave on the spiritual platform. Because the pure devotee or realized soul takes these offenses as the will of the Lord, as part of his purification, and as reaction of his past sins. That he thinks, we don't think, oh, Swamiji must have had some past sinful activities. Swamiji will think, that this is the reaction of my past sins. I should accept gracefully. I remember one time Her Grace Sangeeta Mataji was in hospice and she was staying for some service there to the patients. And one morning she was going to Mangal Arati. And you know, our hospice is like this, we go like this and abrupt left turn is there from hospice to go to ISKCON temple. So that dark little time, twilight time in the morning, when she took a turn abruptly, suddenly snatched her bag and went away. It had some money and some things. So she was like stunned. But she went peacefully back to temple. And she came back and narrated the story to us. But what significant things she told, as soon as that fellow snatched my bag, for a second, he and me saw each other in eyes. And I could sense it was the reaction of my past, some past activity. So I just felt, leave it here and go. He also saw, I also saw him. He went, I also went. He didn't run, neither I ran. But that was a realization in her eyes when she saw that this is the reaction of something in the past. So let it go. This can happen to only a devotee, please understand. Because it requires humility to accept that this is something got to do with my past sinful activity only. Then Prabhupada said this many times, devotee is a perfect gentleman. In all dealings, common dealings of life, he is a gentleman. He is never unreasonable. He is quite sober and quite pleasing in his demeanor, whatever he does. And we all should keep up to the word of Srila Prabhupada by becoming gentlemen, by becoming very reasonable, by becoming nice people to be with. Forget about devotion and talking about spiritual philosophy to people. But in day-to-day rulings, you know, like closing the lift before going, sometimes flushing the commode after going to washroom, the public washroom, mopping off with the mop, the bathroom, when you use the bathroom. The simple things in life. Putting your clothes folded nicely in a corner rather than spreading them everywhere. These are common things that we do. But a devotee is expert in doing everything. He is so particular and meticulous in doing everything systematically. And as we grow in our bhakti, all these simple things should manifest in our day-to-day behavior. It's not just enough to give fantastic lectures and convert people into devotees and bring them to the shelter of Krishna. It's wonderful. But even these simple things are important to make one person gentleman. The devotee develops tolerance due to his faith in the Lord and also due to his strong japa and strong sadhana. One point I wanted to discuss. We fail in sometimes becoming tolerant in between. Be sure the tolerance levels goes down when sadhana goes down. And the day you have done sadhana nicely, attentively, at proper time in the morning, you should be sure that you will be reasonably tolerant. And you will also notice that. All of us know that we don't chant our rounds and go to office. And at every conversation, at reception, at every discussion with patient, there is agitation, there is frustration, there is quarrel, there is argument. Our Isgoliness Bhakti Samas Maharaj has given a big list of things that happen when you don't chant your rounds and go to work. One of them is irritation. So one can tolerate things happening in his life if the sadhana is very strong and nice in the morning. So let us be consistent in what we do regularly at fixed times in the morning as dedication to our Guru and Krishna and to the community of devotees. And then seeing our effort, don't think that I do good chanting, I do good sadhana, so I must get tolerance as a gift from Lord. No, Lord awards that tolerance to you looking at your sincere efforts. May not be equivalent to the effort that we do. But the gift is always bigger than what effort you have put. Because that is not a result of our action. It is the mercy of the Lord. So let us convince the Lord and then let Lord reward us or bless us with the quality of disproportionate tolerance to our efforts of sadhana. Let us convince the Lord. Similarly, control over sensual desires, receiving tolerance, becoming humble are not individual achievements. They are actually blessings of the Lord. In response to the sincere efforts that we do in taking the holy name of the Lord. Then comes Satyasar. The devotee becomes honest, bold and powerful with the life based on truth. Bold to trade on the path of truth in spite of challenges. The devotee is not fearful of the consequences following the path of truth. He is least bothered about condemnation, dishonor, ridicule of the worldly people. This life based on the platform of truth is very powerful. And all of us should always remain on the platform of truth. Because sometimes lying is very tempting to escape some bad effect, to escape some loss, to escape some defamation. But all that you achieve by lying or by cheating is always temporary in nature. That one thing we should know. I may get something now by telling something lie, but what I achieve after telling that lie is always short-lived. The devotee who has experienced some kind of long-lasting pleasure by entering into bhakti, he doesn't want to trade with that long-lasting happiness with any temporary happiness. He kind of gets addicted to spiritual long-lasting happiness. And after you taste the long-lasting happiness, even for some time or some part of your life in a progressive Krishna consciousness, then you don't want to accept something temporary, which is obviously looking as temporary. It's tempting to get that temporary benefit, but knowledge tells you, don't get into that. And when we are, what is ultimately Srila Prabhupada is telling, what is the first level of truthfulness of a devotee? Is being loyal to the principle of chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulative principles. And becoming humble servant of a devotee. This is the platform of truth. And a disciple's commitment to the truth is following all these things sincerely. And sometimes, by breaking one principle, you may get something very exciting pleasure sometime. But the pain coming after that is long lasting, long duration. That is why one should be striving to live on the platform of truth, even from the point of view of telling lies or telling truths. One level of truthfulness is to be truthful by verbally, always tell the truth. Like the Brahmins tell the truth, being honest with it. Like the Gautam Muni had one disciple approaching him for becoming disciple. And Gautam Muni had only accepting Brahmin disciples. So he asked, what is your caste? He said, I don't know. He said, go ask your mother. So he went to ask his mother, and mother said, I'm sorry, I was a prostitute in my life and many men have come. I don't know whose son are you. He went back and told the straight thing to the Gautam Muni. And Gautam Muni said, yes, you are a Brahminical boy. I accept you as my disciple in my Gurukul. So if he would have told something lies like Karna did told. Exactly about the story of Karna. Karna is supposed to be externally a son of a Sarathi. He was a Kshatriya, but he was actually, by his life story, a son of a Sarathi. And he wanted to learn Brahmastra from Parshuram. Duryodhana instigated him, that you, this thing you don't have, Arjuna has this, you have to go and learn this. And he had to be Brahmin for that, so he told lie to Parshuram. That I am son of Bhargav, I am son of Bhrugu, I am in Bhargav Kula. So he learned all the Brahmastra, almost successful. He got the Brahmastra by the cheating process. In the process, when he was learning Brahmastra, he was thinking, I am successful. My telling lie is worth all that. I spoke a little lie, but I am achieving my purpose. And he was coming back, fully learned the Brahmastra. And then what happened on the way? It's a long story, but it was revealed that he was not a Brahmin. It was revealed that he was a Kshatriya. I mean, he had a Kshatriya power. And then what curse he received? When you will require the Brahmastra the most, you will forget the mantra. So all that time that he spent in Parashuram's ashram, learning, working hard, was nullified in a snap of a second. So what is the result of telling a lie? You may think you are successful for some time, but all your illusory feelings of success are destroyed to pieces very soon. So why we study all these stories? To know that don't get into this. It will not remain with you. Because the platform of falsehood always will allure you, tempt you, and then destroy you. But platform of truth may be hard, may be difficult, may be painful, may be challenging, but will remain with you. It may give little success to you today, but it will trade you, it will put you on a path of unlimited glory and success in the future. And spiritual life means what? Initial troubles, success later. Material life means initial happiness, long-lasting pain. This is what we have learned in the early stages of Krishna consciousness. We should stick on that path. We don't want to get immediate happiness and success for long-lasting pain in the future. All our future lies in future. Because in the future we want to go back to Godhead. And we want to be on a perfect platform while the time comes to go back to Godhead. And if your whole life is based on untruth, you cannot go to the kingdom of truth. It's not possible. You have to tread on the path of truth for whole life to convince the Lord you are eligible to enter the kingdom of truth. What is Golok Vrindavan? It is based on the absolute truth. The absolute truth personified lives there. Life is fully based on truth there. There is no lie there. There is no falsehood there. There is no illusion there. There is no cheating over there. So that all things we have to cultivate here. Satya Sar, the honesty. At times, the consequence of being truthful is painful immediately. The devotee who is convinced about that will bear the consequences, but will remain on the truth. He may be apparently not getting benefits of being truthful, but still he has faith, because truth is connected with Sri Krishna, the absolute truth. If I am connected to that, there will be always success in the future. Because devotee is looking for eternal things, not temporary things. That is the basis of beginning of spiritual life. To give up temporary things and accept eternal things. And pay the price for those eternal things, which is time actually, right? The course of time it is going to happen. So sometimes we get condemned. Sometimes we get ridiculed by material world. By accepting this dress and this mission, when you chant Hare Krishna, when I do sometimes Brahminical activities, sometimes my relatives laugh in ridicule. See, a doctor had become Bhatji now. We don't care for that. People laugh at your Shikha. Huh? Big Shikha traveling in the train. Some ladies are giggling, some girls are giggling, some boys are giggling. We don't care. If one is convinced of what one is doing on the platform of truth, one should need not bother about what the world is thinking. Because all the laughing people will ultimately go in the suffering conditions of life. And all those who are convinced and what they are doing in life will face the happiness in life eternally. So we should strive not to be fearful of telling truth. And when you are fearlessly telling the truth, great strength comes in you. Great spiritual subtle strength comes in you, which further convinces you to be on path of truth. Those Russian devotees who died in the jail in Siberia. Why they were so blissful in the jail also, when they were deprogrammed? Because they were platform of truth. Prahlad would have said, "Yes, my father, you are the boss." All those sufferings would have been mitigated instantly. And he was told, Chandamarka was telling him, "Tell Prahlad, just forget all these things, just tell yes, Papa. Everything would be alright." But Prahlad went through so much of trouble, but stuck to the platform of truth. In the end, it actually one way, you know, made Narsingadev compulsory to come. Narsingadev was pulled in by the dedication of Prahlad on the platform of truth. He didn't deviate. It would have meant alleviation of all his miseries by one line, which is dishonest line. "Yes, Hiranyakashipu, my dear father, you are the boss, you are the Lord, I chant your name." All his suffering could have been mitigated. And one is supposed to mitigate one's suffering if it comes in life. So nobody would have blamed him also. But he did not trade the eternal life in bargain with the temporary loss of miseries, which were a lot, although temporary, which were a lot. Nobody has in the history of mankind suffered so much as Prahlad said, suffered. But he did not bother about that. He was fearless. And that fearlessness was rewarded by the Lord. Lord is eagerly saying, I want to benedict you, I want to bless you, ask for blessings. And he's saying, no, my Lord, I'm not a vyapari, I'm not a businessman. Look at his faith on the honesty. And all that strength of honesty is coming from following the order of Guru that he was doing. What he learned from Narad Muni, he was following strictly in his life amongst the demoniac people. That is why we read today's story in Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyway, time is getting up. We'll have two more qualities. Anavadhyatma knows that, the devotee knows that material world is temporary phantasmagoria. He is not agitated, he is not bewildered, he doesn't criticize anyone, he is happy and fixed within all the time. This one realization comes only after experience, that the world is phantasmagoria. Before I was thinking world is the source of all my happiness. Now it's something exactly opposite that. This realization takes time to come. We have to keep on practicing Krishna consciousness and remain in the company of devotees. When difficulties come, challenges come, then one day this feeling will definitely come in all the devotees' heart. This world is not the place of happiness. It is only a network of continuous, perpetual unhappiness and suffering and distress. It will come. By the mercy of the Lord will put you through situations, will convince you. Because unless we are convinced of this world being a source of misery, we cannot turn or look for the world of happiness. If the happiness is here only, I am convinced, then why will I look anywhere else? You're right in front of my eyes, why should I look somewhere else? But I will look somewhere else only when I am convinced it is not here where I am. I need to search for it. And to make you search, the Lord has to give you the realization that this is what is around you is suffering. And then we start looking up. And that is where we get introduced to spiritual world. So knowing or coming to the realization that this world is suffering is a blessing. Coming straight from the Lord by the agency of Guru. So the devotee can become anavadhyatma. Completely convinced. And no interest, no excitement when sensual objects come in front. Because he has already fixed himself on the platform of spiritual happiness, which is completely overwhelming him. So this twinkling happiness of the material world, although attractive, don't tempt him. And the last is, today is summer, equal. The devotee is equal in loss and benefit, labh and hani, honor and dishonor, and success and failure. And why? How can he be equal in all these conditions? Generally we are excited when happiness comes, praise comes, success comes, money comes, benefit comes, profit comes. And generally we are distressed when loss comes, or somebody dishonors us, insults us. A devotee can become equal to these situations only because he knows both are temporary. Distress comes, he knows it has beginning and end. And success comes, also he knows beginning and end. I always tell this example that I was a SSC rank holder in the Maharashtra in 1978. How does it affect my life today? I can show you newspaper also, articles. My photograph is there. It has no meaning today. How many marks I received in my MBBS exam? What meaning it has today? Or if you have failed in some exams in your school days or college days or junior college days, today how does it make difference? So all that pain and all that happiness had a beginning and end and expiry period. Knowing this, the devotee can remain summer, equipoised. And one shloka is there in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, Adyantu vantu kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Intelligent people who are spiritually intelligent, practicing spiritual life, know very well that they should not take interest in things that has a beginning and end, whether happiness or misery. They don't dwell in both. Because they know, even if happiness is there, very tempting, it has an expiry date. So it is not going to satisfy me because my nature is to have eternal happiness. So how do I get satisfied with something having expiry date? That's one reason how a devotee can remain sama. And then it is mentioned here that he can remain sama because his eye is on the world next. His goal is to go to the world next. He is not interested in creating a bank balance or a balance of events of punya or punya in this world, because he knows it is temporary world here. The benefits of my accumulation also is temporary. That's why he gives up everything, working hard for worldly things, and he sets his eye on the world next. Samas sarveshu bhuteshu. What is that next line? Samas sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. Another aspect of sama is that when you are equal in happiness and distress, equipoised in honor and dishonor, Lord says, I am not saying that mad bhakti labhate param. To that devotee, bhakti is achieved. So also devotee knows why I have to become sama, because that will give me bhakti from the Lord as a gift. It's not my achievement. The Lord will award me. And another way of sama is sama sarvesha means one who sees everyone equally. That means he sees tiger equally, dog equally, a dog eater equally. That doesn't mean goes and embraces tiger, but he sees him equally. That is why he can forgive others, because even if somebody offends him, why he can forgive others? Because he sees that person also, who is apparently enemy now, is part of my Lord. So he may deal with him in a business manner, but in the heart of his heart, he is not inimical to him. If Janmashtami comes, he will give prasad to him again tomorrow, which otherwise we will not do, because he has insulted me, he is out of my list. But a devotee will not do that. Devotee will wait for another occasion. He has fought with him on one society meeting, and when Janmashtami comes, he will give Janmashtami prasad to him. Because of the understanding that everybody is the part and parcel of the Lord. That is his sama vision. It's all not easy things, but they are possible. They are not impossible. In fact, the devotee is such that he is especially kind to those who are harmful to him. Because he feels bad for that, how much harm they are causing and where it will lead them to. So let me give them prasad. And if he can't give prasad, they are not accepting prasad from you because they hate you, then what he does? Any idea what he does? He is kind. He wants to be kind to them. They are rejecting all this kindness through many things. What is he left with? He prays for them. My Lord, I can't even give prasad to him. He is not accepting prasad also. Please bestow your mercy upon him. Save him from these disastrous activities. Otherwise, I don't know where it will lead him to and what he will have to go through. That is devotee's kindness. And that sama nature, equipoised nature, is very attractive to the Lord. The Lord loves this. When somebody is, especially when somebody is harmed to you and you think of his welfare, that is very tempting to the Lord. So what is Lord's mission? So what he says, I am equal to all. I don't envy anybody. I don't love anybody. I do welfare of everybody equally. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. To Pandavas, to Kauravas, he was equal. So that is Lord's mission. Even to be kind to the most harmful people. And when you participate in that, actually you are fulfilling Lord's mission. That's why Lord is very attracted to you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Is there any questions? Small one question is there? I can try to answer. Big topic. Five qualities. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
डिफिकल्ट है, मेरे तो कल से टेंशन नहीं था. लोग बोल रहे क्या कथा सुनाएंगे आज, बोला क्या कथा सुनाऊं. बट ए वेरी डिफिकल्ट टॉपिक है.
आई एम रिलीव्ड.